The Bush administration has made a major point of trying to marginalize Palestinian President Yasser Arafat and instead deal with Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas. But this week, Arafat has been flexing his muscles. He appointed a national security advisor, and yesterday he called on Palestinian militant groups to renew their truce if Israel stops its military action. With Arafat back in the spotlight, U.S. officials are having a tougher time ignoring him, NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
Bush administration officials have tried to stay on message, accusing Arafat of links to terrorism and suggesting he is an obstacle in the roadmap to Palestinian statehood. But increasingly, the administration has had to publicly acknowledge that Arafat is still a force to be reckoned with. Secretary of State Colin Powell publicly appealed to Arafat to give Prime Minister Abbas the tools to crack down on terrorism. Robert Malley, a Clinton-era official now with the International Crisis Group, says Powell is recognizing reality.
He was echoing the view that he's heard now from every Palestinian he's spoken to, which is they cannot move if Arafat blocks them, and they could move much more freely if he'll give them a green light. And that's why his appeal went to the person who holds the cards. I don't think in any way that is a preview of a change in U.S. policy.
Indeed, one State Department official said privately that the Bush administration decided to marginalize Arafat and can't go back on that decision. But Edward Abington, a former consul general in Jerusalem who now lobbies for the Palestinian Authority, argues the U.S. approach was flawed from the start.
The weakness of the U.S. approach is that they've created a situation where there's no incentive for Arafat to cooperate. We have said that he is irrelevant, so why should he do anything that the United States wants him to do that's constructive? One would hope that he would do it for the sake of the Palestinian people. But, you know, frankly, I'm not sure that's always what motivates Arafat.
Abington says Arafat wants political survival and power and is reluctant to hand over security forces to the prime minister, a key U.S. demand. David Makovsky of the Washington Institute for Near East Policy dismisses the idea that the U.S. needs to offer Arafat incentives. Rather, he says the U.S. needs to get other Arab states on board to pressure Arafat to empower Prime Minister Abbas.
That's the way to do it, because if you're counting on Arafat to cede power voluntarily, then you could count for a very long time. Everything we know about this guy is that he puts himself over the cause, over the people, and as long as he is still in power, that is how he defines success.
Next week, there'll be another major test for the U.S. efforts to marginalize Arafat and boost Prime Minister Abbas's prospects. Abbas is due to present a report on Monday to the Palestinian parliament on his first 100 days in office. Former Ambassador Edward Abington says things could get messy.
If Arafat decides that he wants to engineer a vote of no confidence, Abu Mazen or Prime Minister Abbas would be forced to resign, and then you would have a real vacuum.
U.S. officials acknowledge privately they are worried about the internal Palestinian power struggle, but with limited influence to resolve it, they simply repeat their public appeals to Arafat to relinquish power. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.